inside the FIU Athletics podcast, sponsored by Baptist Health. While the dog days of summer are almost here, there is still one Panther sport in action, and so that's where we go this week on the FIU Athletics podcast. Track and field doing their thing as they get ready to head to regionals up in Jacksonville starting in just a couple of days. As we sit here, a school record 11 athletes getting the chance to represent FIU in the regional meet. And so we caught up with a couple people who will be there in that regional meet in Jacksonville, in Mikhail Valentin, the record holder in a few different events here at FIU, some national records as well, and finishing off a tremendous career for the Panthers, and the head Panther himself in Ryan Heberling. A quick timeout here on the FIU Athletics podcast, and then we will hear from the athlete and the coach building up to the big one.
We often welcome people as a standard greeting. It's become as common as greeting another with a hello. At Baptist Health, being welcome has far deeper meaning. So welcome to the warmer side of care, where we advance innovation and treatments through research while educating the next generation of experts all close to home. Here, the sun shines through each one of us as we stand by each one of you. Welcome to the warmer side of care. Welcome to Baptist Health.
Hey, it's the Good Greek Spiro, and I have some exciting news. Good Greek has been awarded National Mover of the Year. You've trusted the Good Greek for decades with your family's moving and storage needs. Now Good Greek is proud to be the nation's top mover. So when it's time for you to move across town or across the country, trust America's best mover, Good Greek. Go to goodgreek.com for Good Greek, the National Mover of the Year.
Good Greek, moving and storage, your superhero movers.
Joined now by quite possibly the GOAT at FIU for what she does. Get to that in a bit, but right now, let's jump in and talk to Mikhail Valentin. Mick, take us through where your head's at. Regionals coming up this weekend. What are you thinking as you guys get ready to head to Jacksonville?
Well, as for headset, I feel like I'm in the perfect headset right now. As in this week, we've just been working on the small changes that we need to fix with my throwing, where it's to like hammer throws, what I need to do, discus, what I need to do. I'm just really excited for regionals, man.
No doubt. Let's go back to CUSAs. You get the gold in hammer, as I think we all expected. You get the PR in the shot put. What was working for you so well at CUSAs that translated to that continued success?
Honestly, it was my team, man. Coach gave an amazing speech, and I just felt fired up for the team, and I was ready to contribute and do what I needed to do all that I could to just help the team out with points, you know?
Yep.
I went out there, and I did my best, and that was the result of it, you know?
Is the mentality any different? I mean, the way the track and field schedule falls, there isn't necessarily that regular season versus postseason. You guys have the events are the events, but when you get into that tournament, that CUSA's mentality, or where you're headed to regionals, does that go through your head a little differently, or is it still kind of one throw at a time?
One thing coach had taught me is like treat every meet as the same. So CUSA conference, the championships, I don't view it like any more important than the first season meet that we have. I don't know, I feel like that puts me in a better mindset where I don't make the meet bigger than it needs to be. I feel like that's something that's been working out for me the best this couple of years, is just focusing on, you know, every meet you just go and throw. Like even at nationals, you know, it's nationals, yes. But, and I think that's why many people, you know, freak out and don't do their best, because they're like, oh my God, this is a big stage, I'm going to freeze up. But I think I'm still learning, like, how to just step into each meet and just treat it as I would any other meet. And most of the time, that's when I do the best, so.
For sure. Look, you've had a ton of success at CUSAs, so that mentality speaks for itself. I'm curious, when you have a throw like the shot put at CUSAs or the hammer throw you had in Coral Gables, do you know when it leaves your hand? Like, oh, okay, I got all of that one.
So, yes and no. Because for shot put, I don't really do shot put for it. I only did it because I was like, coach put me in it because I really wanted to score. We haven't scored in a long time in shot put. Sure. And we needed to get the points. And I was like, coach, I think I could do it. Just put me in there. And so for shot put, when I threw the 14, the PR, I didn't know it was that good. So I didn't really feel shot put because I don't really like practice it for real. But for hammer and discus, typically I feel it the most, is because when I throw it, it feels easy. Like it feels like it's nothing. Like I didn't even do nothing to it, and that those typically are my furthest throw. But for hammer, if I'm able to hold my finish or like based on my arm and my footwork, I can tell if it was a good throw or not.
For those who don't know, she's routinely throwing the hammer over 200 feet. So that thing flies when it leaves her hand. But I think I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask anyway. Of all the throws that you do you have a favorite?
Oh, no, I don't. I don't have a favorite because, well, it's definitely not shot put. Let's be clear, okay?
That's right. Okay, we'll put shot put out.
It's not shot put because I don't practice shot put. Those are not my two events. But it's definitely hammer and discus. Right now, I still can't pick which one I love more. But I love being able to like, I'm having a bad hammer day, I can go to discus. I'm having a bad discus day, I can go to hammer, you know? So I feel like it's a even playing field for
All
now.
right. I'm surprised. I thought you were going to say, I like both, but hammer is the true love. So a little surprised. But hey, that's good to hear. It's good to hear that you love both. And because of that, because you have so many different events in which you excel, I'm curious if you ever lose track sometimes of your own records. Because if you look at the list, it's pages and pages and pages. And obviously, the idea in track and field and cross country is chasing those records, right? So I'm sure they're forefront of your mind, but at the same time, you have so many. Have you ever been like, oh, yeah, I didn't even realize that one was that way?
No, I feel like with track and field, since it's at least for the throwers, it's really like a number game. I do know the numbers that I've thrown. I may not know the decimal points, you know what I'm saying, but I know like, okay, I just threw 67. 67 is my best. 67 point what? I don't know. But my main goal, even you can ask coach himself, like when I first came here, I was like, hey coach, like I'm going for this record. I want to go to the Olympics. I want to do all this stuff. And I was actually able to obtain all the records that I wanted to get because I wanted to get the weight title. I wanted to get hammer and discus. Discus was the last one I got, but I finally got it in there and it counts. It is in for the books. So I do know the numbers. Coach be like, hey, Mick, the record
There
is
you go.
this. Let's see if you're going to get it. Most of the time, he pushed me with that. So I do know the numbers for the most part.
I was going to say, and you did get those records. So keeping it forefront of the mind works out. Other end of the record book, I'm curious if it hits differently for you emotionally when you hear a Haitian national record. Because obviously, it's one thing, right, to get an FIU record, and that's immensely important. But once you get into the country strong portion of it, that pride that comes with a Haitian record, does that kind of resonate with you a little bit differently?
It definitely does because since growing up, my goal was always to represent Haiti in the big stage. So I feel like when now that I do have the national record, or like when coach was like, hey Mick, like did you know that was the national record? And I was like, what? That's crazy. It does hit differently. And I'm really excited to be able to, hopefully soon to be able to represent Haiti in the World Championship and the Olympics soon too.
You mentioned that. It's exactly where I wanted to go with you. How often are you thinking about 2028 right now? Because it's a long ways away, but obviously there's a lot of steps for you that lead to that. So it's not like, okay, we're just going to do nothing and then 2028's going to show up. It's not how it goes in track and field. So how often are you thinking about the Olympics in 28?
I'm taking it day by day type thing. I'm seeing like where I'm at based on the numbers I have. Right now, I'm not too far off based on my numbers, but it's definitely something that, it's not just about hitting the standard. You also have to have the world standing and all that other stuff that you need to be able to go. But I do think about it a lot. But right now, the main thing I'm focusing on is hitting the mark for world championships. That's going to be in Tokyo. Like, I want to go to Tokyo so bad, but it's like right there. I just need two more meters. And I feel like a practice this week, I figured out some things. And I believe regionals, man. I'm putting it out there. I think regionals might be a crazy PR. So I think I might hit the standard at regionals.
All
So I'm
right.
just really excited to see that.
If you get a little time in Tokyo, what's the tourist thing you want to do if you can get a chance to get to Tokyo?
Even know, but I know I won't be staying in the hotel. Okay, I'll tell you
Right.
that. Normally, I don't really go out because I'm like, no, this is a meet. I gotta lock in, I gotta focus. But nah, I definitely want to explore. It's a free trip. Go out and have
Dude, I wish that was my dream vacation as well, is Tokyo. Now, you'd be working there, I would just be having fun, but I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. When you hear something like, you are the FIU GOAT, you are the greatest in the history of this program at what you do, what goes through your mind when you hear kind of lofty praise like that?
Like getting praises. Coach can tell you that. I don't. And people are like, oh my gosh, Mick, you did. I tend to shy away from that because that's not the environment that I grew up on. I wasn't like, hey Mick, you're doing a great job. That wasn't me. I'm very much like self-motivated, like, get up. I show up for myself because I know nobody else is gonna push me to show up. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like I work hard, And I definitely allow other people to like see my hard work and like they be able to tell like, hey, yeah, she works really hard and it shows. So I feel like for me, I just show up and most of the time I do show out. So yeah.
And it's easy to see kind of where that chip on your shoulder comes from, because Coach Hebb told this story when he was on this podcast before, but you were a little under recruited coming into your collegiate process.
Yes.
Kind of take us through the
Yes.
emotions of that, right? Because you know what you're capable of, but you weren't getting the love
Yes.
that deserved until obviously you did here at FIU.
Yeah. Well, for me in high school, my coach was good, but like he didn't really like reach out for me as much as I feel like most other coaches did in the recruitment process. I won state champ as a sophomore, and then junior year, my teammate beat me. Senior year happened. It was COVID. So like I didn't really get that much chance during then, but then I got a visit at UCF. UCF was like, hey, we might be able to give you like 50%. And I'm like, hey, I don't have that money. I need a full ride. Is there anything you can do? He's like, yeah, you just need to basically double your marks and then maybe we might be able to get it 75%. And then out of nowhere, I met one of my competitors that I competed against in high school. She told coach about me. And then coach was like, hey, Meg, we would love for you to come down to FIU. Would like to visit the campus, see what you do. And then at first I didn't want to come to FIU because I've never heard of FIU. I was like, what is that? I don't even know where it's at. It is in Miami. What? I wanted to do wrestling also because I did wrestling in high school. And I, after the visit, coach was like, yeah, I think you'd be a great fit. You know, FIU might be where it's at. And he did offer me a full ride, which is what I was looking for. But I was like, I want to wrestle. I want to continue to wrestle, you know? And then I texted him after I did my other visit at Minnesota or Mississippi, one of them. I was like, hey, coach, do you think it's possible for me to do two sports in college and still work? Because they was not offering me a full ride either. He was like, hey, I don't think you should do it because it's going to be a lot, da da da. And I was like, you know what? That would be pretty stupid to pass on this chance because it's a full ride. This is what I'm asking for. What am I doing? My godmother didn't even go with me in this business. She's like, Mick, this is a stupid decision. You literally have what you've been asking for. What are you looking for still? So, yeah, FIU was definitely the only one that gave me the chance because there's other people that didn't throw as far as me, and they got, like, so many offers, and I'm over here like, geez, nobody's reaching out. Like, I just didn't have that connection. You know, somebody that knew who to call, knew how to reach out. Nobody was doing that for me, I felt like. And when coach saw me, I just really wanted somebody to give me a chance. Because I know once I get in a program, I knew I was going to work. And I was going to prove to them that that was not a mistake, you know. So, yeah, coach did a good one. He did his big one when he did, you know, reached out to me. Even though I didn't make it seem like it.
FIU is more than happy that you made that decision and that Coach Ebb reached out. Trust me. Women's wrestling is one of those sports where it is kind of on the uptick, right? We've seen a lot of programs added across the country. Is that something you're still kind of staying in tune with, working on those moves, or is it, hey, I'm only focusing on hammer throws at this point?
Listen, I believe my knees have retired because I don't think if I go on the mat right now, I don't think my knees will be able to take those takedowns anymore and do those steps. I don't think my body's definitely like out-trained wrestling. But I do loved it, you know, because me, I was a very, like, shy person. I felt like wrestling was a spot I could be aggressive and beat up people without getting in trouble. You know what I'm saying? That's why I wanted to still do it. But track and field is where it's at. So it's fine for me right now.
You mentioned you were a shy person. I don't believe that's the case anymore. When did that change for you? Where did that confidence come from?
Well, it depends on who you ask, because if you go around and ask my teammates, is Mick a shy person? They're going to tell you, no, she's not.
Right.
But if you go in the classroom and ask if Mick's a shy person, most likely you're going to be like, yeah, I've never heard her speak before. You know what I'm saying? It depends on the setting and how comfortable I am in the situation. Then you might get to see my true colors and you might not. But the confidence came in, honestly, with God, man. God did his big one on me, too, because my childhood was pretty rough. And he had put people in my life that really know how to like lift me up and be able to see my worth and stuff. So I felt like once I was able to figure that out, I wasn't like as shy anymore.
That's a story we hear from Apopka sometimes, right? It's somebody who's raised up through their faith and through athletics and being able to find that purpose. How big was it for you coming from the APK to be able to stay in Florida only a few hours away from where you were born?
That's another thing. I didn't want to stay as close to home, too. So FIU, they was like, oh, it's like 4, 3 about 5 miles, like 5 hours away. I was like, oh, that's not far enough for my family, because I was like, I need to go away, away. And then I don't know, like I really wanted to go away. I felt like that's what I needed to do. But it turned out like that distance was not too bad, because it's not like they want to take the drive every weekend to come see me. And I didn't have a car back then either. So I don't know. I didn't mind staying in Florida because, you know, that's home. But again, I was
Sure.
willing to go far because I felt like I needed to go further away. But
Florida has that effect on people.
yeah.
You either want to stay in Florida and never leave because you hate the cold, or you've been in the
Yeah.
heat long enough and you want to try and get as far away as possible. But no complaints from anybody here in South Florida that you decided to stay.
No, for sure.
right, Mick, go get him at regionals. We're looking forward to it. Get that PR, get that trip to Tokyo, and keep doing what you've been doing. It's been a blast to watch.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll let Mick go and we'll turn to the head man himself, Coach Heberling, joining us here on the FIU Athletics podcast. Coach Heb, let's start right there. You've seen the growth from Mick, and she was a phenomenal thrower the second she got to campus. But how have you seen her continue to evolve into this sport, to the athlete that she is today?
I mean, the biggest change that kind of happens is, and we always kind of talk about this with our younger athletes, it's just like levels of self-sufficiency of just, you know, a lot of times freshmen, it's like, hey, here's how you walk straight. Here's how you eat food. Like you almost have to walk them through every single thing they do. And as athletes get older, and Mick is really kind of on that timeline that a lot of our throwers are now, just being here for 5 years, like finding a redshirt year and just trying to extend that time. And she gets to the point where, you know, she's in year 5 now. She's very self-sufficient. The whole group of seniors this year was very self-sufficient. You don't have to get on anybody to lift weights. You don't have to get on anybody to kind of handle their business. When they're a little bit younger, I kind of tell them like, hey, I saw this. And then as they get a little bit older, hey, what'd you feel? And a lot of times we'll kind of take that feedback to kind of mold that feedback around what they need. So just seeing her kind of make that progression. And to be honest, like Mick is doing a great job this year. We have countless stories of athletes like this from the state of Florida that have just, hey, no one gave me an offer, and here I am breaking records, you know? And I think it's just so cool she kind of keeps that alive. And definitely some of the younger athletes we have coming up here through the program are that same way. And it's just, I really feel like when you give somebody something that they can kind of take ownership of, like I've never been a fan of, here's the workout, follow every part of my, you know, what I say and all this. And it's really like, hey, you know, what are you feeling today? And how do you think about this? Like they become like a stakeholder in their training, they really excel. You know, and so seeing an athlete like her, and then a lot of the athletes on our program, just that level of just maturity, you know, and in track and field, because I've told people all the time, you know, if this was football or basketball and I had to write plays or something, like certainly follow the plays. But in track and field, like when you're out there, and Mick's been to the Nationals quite a few times now, and she'll tell you, she'll be down there at the discus, and I'm a half mile away trying to coach, like, hey, work on this. You look at this, and I'm like making hand signals like that. That's how competing at an extremely high level in track and field is. Like coaching is such a small part of it. I don't look at it as more of coaching. It's more of like guiding and kind of like trying to assist versus like follow my every, you know, word and all that. And then I think it's like where our program does a good job of just like really preparing athletes to like excel in those moments of uncertainty or those moments of high pressure. And, you know, Mick is just one of those athletes that just really like, she'll have those days where she's really happy or really sad or frustrated or whatever's going on at practice. And you just kind of let her deal with it and let her figure it out versus, hey, let's talk about it. It's just like, go figure out how to deal with something that's hitting you and work through it. And I think that that's something like she sets a really good example for a lot of the younger athletes of just, it's not always going to be your day. This might be a little rough. Like, let's work on it. But everything kind of works out in a great way. And we're just excited to see where it keeps going.
It's funny you mentioned the little things, and you almost have to teach a freshman how to eat. We were talking to one of the softball coaches come in, and she's like, yeah, we had to remind our freshmen to bring sunscreen. In an outdoor sport, you would think that's obvious, but these athletes are so regimented in what they do, right? They lock in on that and they kind of forget the normal human stuff that goes into it. And it's why I was really interested when Mick said she thought she found something headed into this weekend. Because I was curious, even coming in, if you guys were still kind of tinkering. Obviously, you're not making any wholesale changes at this point, but still working on little things. And I already got my answer. It's clearly yes. But what goes into that, where you're making these little minuscule changes that can make a difference of a few meters, which is all the difference?
I've always been a fan of like the coaching association, like the coaching clinics that go on within our sport. And you have so many different kind of coaches with different perspectives. Some of them, or I'd say a lot of them, are more of like, hey, here's how it has to look. This is what we have to do. And what you start to notice is when you look at some of the best athletes in the world, especially in the throws, they all do something a little bit different. There's something a little bit off. You're like, well, that's not how the book says it should look. Why does that work? And I've always kind of taken that approach to just kind of training when it's like, if you look at our hammer and discus throwers, they'll be doing some weird stuff and everyone's like, that's wrong. And it's like, look, I've got 20 years of experience in this. Like we've checked all the boxes off of what it's supposed to look like. Now we're going to get to what it's going to look like for them. And I've just always thought that's a really cool thing because it, when you're a younger coach and you're trying to figure out kind of what we're doing, you watch movies, books, and shows of just training. Like, how do you figure these things out? Like, what's it supposed to look like? But it can't replace just that experience of working with those athletes on a day-to-day basis and kind of getting a feel of who they are. Mick is one of the more powerful athletes we've ever had. And I've told her this a million times. Like, she's no way in any way, shape, or form our best, like, athlete. If you were to take, like, athleticism, she's really good in certain things, but there's other things she lacks at, and that's every single one of our throwers. Like some of our throwers could probably run, and they'll give me crap for this. We have some throwers that could probably run on a 4x1, and you wouldn't even know they were throwers. They would perform so well. And our training style is always kind of geared towards like bringing the best out of an athlete, and sometimes bringing the best out, it doesn't look like a cookie cutter version of that. Mick and another young woman on the team, Lauren, one of our freshmen we redshirted this year, they both do a heel start in the discus. That is extremely rare. You never see it. I don't think anybody in the NCAA has done it in the last few years, but it works for her. And it's just one of those things where we tried everything else, and then it's like, let's try this. And I think, like, you know, we're the one that, hey, we've turned over all the stones. Let's turn over two more, see what we can find. And I think that's one of the things that's helped us kind of have success is that we don't really lock ourselves as a program and coaches into, well, this is how it's supposed to work. If you can't do it, it doesn't work. We try to say, okay, here's the athletes we have. Let's make it work. Like, if I don't get chicken, I'm not going to make chicken salad. We're going to make something else. And it's still going to feed us. It's still going to get the job done, but it's just not going to look maybe how others expect it to. And I think that's definitely where like the tinkering kind of comes into play. If we were like investment people, we're risk averse. We're okay with taking a risk on certain things if it means there's going to be a high reward there. So there might be other coaches going, well, that looks wrong. That's this. But if we can go out there and beat you, then what's it matter? And I learned that a long time ago from my college coach. So that was important.
Bucking the conventional model is kind of how this team is built in so many ways. And especially when you look at our throwers, obviously, you have the throw background yourself. When you came into the head coaching job here at FIU, did you envision kind of building it through the throws and then getting the rest to work around that? Or was that something, like you said, that you kind of found as you were going through the processes of recruiting and development? Hey, this is a lane for FIU because other schools don't want to do it the way that we do it. And we can really attack and score that way.
So it was never about building it through the throes. We have a philosophy in the program that we use called opportunistic recruiting. And there's a lot of programs in college track and field that'll basically be like, okay, we're down a couple sprinters, let's sign sprinters. Whether they're good or bad, or if they hit the recruiting mark or not, like they want to fill those roles. We don't do that here at FIU. So opportunistic recruiting essentially is like right now on the women's side, we don't have somebody that runs specifically the one and the two. We have some fast athletes, but no one that runs specifically the one and the two. If tomorrow the best sprinter in the world calls me up and wants to come to FIU, we will sign them. You know, and so for us, it has been more of an easier route to go out. And I mean, we really try to recruit off body types, attitudes, and just athlete identification. You know, I can tell you over the last like 5, 6 years, we'll go to the state championship and someone will be like, Coach, here's the state champion. You know, they want to come to FIU. And it's like, no, they don't fit what we're looking for. I want that one in the back that got ninth place. Like that's the athlete. And so we now, that being said, we've signed many state champions in the last few years. Eviana Tabo, Janiyah Caesar, you know, we have a couple javelin throwers, Remy and Caleb coming in, state champions, awesome guys. But, you know, typically, like, there'll be that athlete that no one's looking at because track and field is such an objective sport of did you hit this mark or not? And we do sometimes recruit like that. That is sometimes how we do a little bit of our international recruiting. But in the state of Florida, I mean, we are just filled and littered with athletes here. You just have to find the one that it's like, okay, this young woman won the state championship and, you know, the shot put and she's X build. But here's this athlete here who's brand new to the sport. She's 6'2". She got third in a pair of high top Jordans and she has no idea what she's doing. Those are the kids that we love here at FIU. when it comes to kind of how we built the program, you know, Coach Sully a couple years ago came to us and he was like, "Hey, I want to sign this pole vaulter, Philippa Miller." And I looked at him, I'm like, "We don't do pole vault here." He goes, "No, but she's good. Like, I think she's going to be pan out. Like, I want to go down this route." She ends up jumping 435 with us. She has the conference record. She was a two-time All-American here. You just kind of go, "Okay, I guess we're going to resign pole vaulters now." And it just kind of turned into a lot of athletes kind of see what we're doing here. Like, we've had a lot of success in the javelin here as well. When athletes reach out to us that kind of fit that mold, I would say over the last 5, 10 years, it's been a lot of like boots on the ground. And now it's to the point where, you know, I'll get an email and say, "Oh, this is a potential All-American. Come to FIU." You know, and they reach out to us. So it's really cool just to see that we're willing to do a lot of the events that other programs think are just not worth the time. Like the throws, the vertical jumps, the multis. Many programs don't want to put the time and effort and resources into that. And we've just embraced that. And then with what Coach Felix is doing with the distance group, they had an awesome conference meet last week. It's just exciting to see kind of all those pieces kind of come together. And I don't think that there was anybody that we had to like really force, like, "Oh my God, like please come to school here." I always say, like, a salesman mentality, like, if you're making 3 phone calls, don't make any more. And when you really try to like chase that kid down, like, they're either a Panther or they're not. And I really like those kids that, you know, when we make one phone call, like, we're recruiting, I can't say names or anything, but we're recruiting a young woman right now. I called her up and she was a little standoffish at first. And I was like, "You know, what's going on?" And she's like, "I didn't think you guys would even be interested in me. You guys are a really good team." And it's like, no. Like, you're what we're looking for." And she was like, "Oh, okay." She's like, "I thought you called me by mistake," you know, something like that.
Oh.
It's like, we love stories like that because a lot of times those young men and women come in and just you give them something, like Mick said, she was looking for something to call her own. And you give them something to call their own. That means so much more to them than basically like, "Hey, you're going to come in and just be a piece of machine that keeps moving." Every year is special and has its own things that stand out. So I would say that's a big part of kind of where the recruiting goes. But no, I mean, I tell everybody all the time, like, I'm the head coach. I'd like to have less throwers. It'd be nice to, you know, be able to do some of the administrative and operations stuff, but great athletes just keep kind of popping up. And I'll be honest, like, Coach Sully helps me out a lot with that group. And a lot of our seniors, like Mick helps out with me a little bit. Tavo helps out. Everybody kind of like plays their role within the group. And it's just that ownership over the program. Like, this is their team. It's not mine. So.
And it's worked out because now there's 8 throwers going to regionals, 2 high jumpers, and Raynell in the 400. So it's not just throwers, it's everybody. And that's what's cool about
Of
it.
course.
And when you look back, if you especially include, like you said, what Coach Felix and his group did in the distance, and you look at indoor season, it's not a stretch at all to say this was the best year of FIU track and field and cross country ever. You look at what the medals say, what the points say, that's not too far of a leap at all. So I'm curious when in the process you were like, okay, this is the year where that momentum continues to go and we're going to hit a new high watermark.
It was funny. I was boo, like the women will tell you, I was boohoo crying at indoor conference. Like, to get third, like, it's been so hard to kind of get there. What really dawned on me is when we get like the season rankings, you know, through the coaches association, and we just kept going up and up and up, and we kept seeing our individual rankings, you know, like the event groups rankings go up. And all of a sudden it's like, you know, I'm looking at the conference rankings, it's like, whoa, we're in second. Like, we're in the nation, we're like in the 40s. Like, whoa, we're doing pretty well. I have to be careful what I say. I'll have Coach Rubin or somebody calling me later, like, no, we did this 25 years ago. And that was my coach my first 2 years here. But it's really just on the athletes. Like, they've worked so hard to just take ownership over being successful. I told everybody, it's like when we're so far out of the hunt for anything at the conference level, that's when I'm like most dialed into points. Okay, guys, like, if you do this, if you do that, if this happens, if the wind hits at this time, maybe you'll do this. All right, this is how many points we can score. But just seeing how we were, I was like, you know what? Let's not do that this year. The group itself was just being successful enough and focused enough that it's like, we don't need to remind them that history is on the table. And basically, like Mick was saying, like, all we told them at conference was just like, look, we're all enough. You know, like, every single person that's here and the role that they have to play, like, they're enough to be successful in that role. I used to tell athletes all the time, look, you know, we don't need anything special. We don't need the heavens to part and to be touched by success. We wouldn't say no. But this year it was just like, look, like, we have so many athletes that are here. We're not going to put this on one person's shoulders. We're not going to expect stuff that's unexpected. We're just going to prepare everybody to be successful. And I think that looking at the success of the season, like, as a track coach or any coach can tell you, I mean, you can win the national championship and you can sit back and go, oh, where did we mess up? Where did we lose? Where did we. And that's the hard part about our sport is that because we are so objective with our times, beating someone, yes, is very important. But when you really look at the nuance of it, it's like, how does my time stack up against my personal battle? that's where we get kind of, okay, how do we do this? And there's so many different ways to skin a cat. I'm just getting lost in the weeds now. But I would say, like, as far as a successful season, I mean, our goal every year is to just move the needle higher and higher and higher. And we got Gabby Bryan. She qualified for regionals in the Hammer. And she was somebody that it was a last minute, like, there was a scratch in the middle of the night and she moved up. And it was just like, wow, like, you know, somebody's looking out for us there. And we had the most regional qualifiers we've ever had as a program now. And you just, like, you want that for the athletes. You want them to be a part of something that's growing. Like, I myself came to FIU because, like Mick said, she's like, I'd never heard of FIU. I never heard of FIU. And I said, I'm going to make this mine. Like, this is mine. The 200 people or 300 people that, you know, from my high school that went to Florida and Florida State, they could do high school again. But I got to go to FIU and make this kind of my own thing. And I kind of want that to be for all of our athletes, but I'll say, like, the university as a whole and all of our athletic programs just keep raising the bar. It's hard to find somebody that doesn't know what FIU is now. And if they do, it's, you know, somebody looks at next to them like, how do you not know what FIU is?
And look, there was a time, right, that you and I would be sitting here on this date. All right, conference has just wrapped up, season's pretty much over, and that was the apex. And that is no longer true at all for this program. Obviously, like you said, a school record, 11 qualifiers. That's got to be gratifying for you, like you said, having gone through it, athlete at FIU, assistant coach at FIU, now head coach, to see that bar continue to raise. And now we're not talking about Conference USA meets as the summit. We're talking about that as the next step into regionals and even forward.
Oh yeah. It's so funny because, like Mick told you, you know, she was a state champion. It was, I always mess with her. I was like, man, I was like, weak year, you know. I always like to joke with her. You know, you have to learn how to be successful at that level. And so many of our athletes that, you know, we're not recruiting these ready-made All-Americans from high school. I would love to, don't get me wrong, but I love the process, how we have it set up now. And a lot of times, like, just those athletes that maybe weren't that, like, that go-to A1 person in high school, seeing teammates who were that exact same athlete having success, it's just contagious, man. And it just gets everybody excited to just kind of keep raising the bar. And nowadays with the internet, like, if you asked me when I was in college to look up, like, the list for conference, I'd be like, how do you look that up? Like, I don't even know where I'm ranked. I see only this athlete from X school once every 3 weeks. And then we're at the conference meet and there's people from Texas. Where do we even go from this? But nowadays, these kids have TFERS and Athletic Net and all these different websites where they're just like, coach, I'm ranked here. Hey, did you see this ranking? And it's like, I can't even keep up with it. And so when they start to see the level of success that they can have here, it's exciting. And it just makes those younger athletes that were like, I don't know why he's reaching out to me. I didn't think I was good enough, to now all of a sudden be, oh, I'm next in line. It's my turn next. We have some very clear-cut goals here, like very immediate goals. Like, we want to be a top 25 national program. We want somebody to win an individual national title. Obviously, we want to win a conference title, but so many different factors go into that versus just your team. And we always try to look at, like, all right, what can we control? And we can control, like, qualifying for regionals and nationals and having people be successful at that next step.
No doubt. You mentioned your FIU career and when you were doing it on the track and through the field. Take us through those conversations when they ask you to be the assistant coach. You spent some years doing that. And then they ask you to be the head coach here at FIU. What was that like for you?
I don't know that anyone asked me to do anything. I was very, I just stick my foot in the door a few times, probably stuck my foot in my mouth too. No, I was a very mediocre athlete. I tell people all the time, like, oh, coach, would you have liked to coach yourself? And I was like, no, I would have cut me in a heartbeat. Grades were so-so and performances were not all that great. I was at the hospital yesterday. My son hurt his arm, so he was getting a cast. And somebody was like, oh, you're the track coach. Like, cool. Like, wow, were you like an All-American? And I was like, God, no, it was terrible. And they're like, well, how does that work? And I was like, well, you got to be very persistent. But it was funny. My last week on campus, like, we finished up, you know, the outdoor championships. I made the finals in the javelin. I was really happy about that. And I go to the head coach's office and I was like, hey, like, I'd love to volunteer, like, anything. Like, let me know what I can do. And they were like, you need to get out of the office. Like, get out of here. Like, all right, awesome. So a couple weeks goes by and I'm like, you know, contemplating, I'm like, maybe I'll go to Hollywood and try to be an actor. Maybe I'll go this route. Let's see what we can do. And then all of a sudden I get a call back like, hey, the throws coach is moving on somewhere else. Like, do you want to just do that in the fall? So I volunteered in the fall and it was very weird coaching my teammates. We were doing keg stands a week ago and now I'm trying to get you to listen at practice. It's a little different. So, you know, so we did that as a semester and I really tried to, this was like 16 years ago. I'm a little blank to this, but I just tried to, like, figure it out, you know? And so then all of a sudden the spring hits and I think I was moved into a part-time role. And then I became the full-time assistant the following year. And that was really cool. I got a lot of responsibility there, a lot of experience. that was when we started to really like figure out what was going on and becoming the head coach back there in 2014. That was all a whirlwind and it all worked out the way it was supposed to. And my wife is, I'm the head coach now because of my wife. She prepared me and set me up and made sure that I, said the right things, did the interviews all the right way. But we had a very successful year that year and kind of keep everything rolling. And I would say that just kind of seeing the program from every perspective kind of allows me to just understand everyone's perspective. Like there's a lot of times we might have a freshman athlete that's just not doing so hot that day. Maybe they're a little homesick. Maybe another athlete or somebody sees them and just doesn't understand it. But it's like, oh, I've been that athlete. I know the athlete that's, walk on that's trying to fight for a scholarship. I know how they feel. I know the assistant coach that's like, man, I got a lot on my plate. Like, what are we doing? It's like, I've been there. Like, I totally get it. And it being at FIU is so cool because we are such a unique situation here. One that I love. People tell me all the time, like, oh, if I was at FIU, I would do this. And it's like, I've been here for 20 years. I'm like, nah, that wouldn't work. I was like, but you could do this or that. And they're like, well, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, but it does here. It makes sense here. And, like with like Scott and Julie's support and stuff and everything they do, I mean, they really give us a lot of freedom to just kind of make the program work the way we want it to. And just like all the things we've been able to accomplish, like the vice stuff, like we were the first, like Coach Felix and I and JR, and he was in equipment at the time. Like we came up with the vice stuff back in 2017, the original vice uniform. And Coach Felix, I think, designed like the 305 with the Panther head in the center. I was on a jersey one day, and we did it, and all of a sudden it's all over campus. So just the freedom to be able to kind of let the program be the kind of program it is. And then just the fact that I really do feel like every single athlete, every single coach, every support staff, they have a way to kind of leave their mark on the program. And I don't think anyone's afraid to kind of be themselves or be like the cog that they need to be within this huge moving program. It's just really cool. And like experiencing here, like someone always tells me, like, where else would you love to coach? I was like, I don't. If I ever had to leave FIU, I would go sell insurance or something. This to me is, this is an awesome experience as far as like what we get to do day in and day out. No day is ever the same. Sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. For the most part, like it's just home here. It feels so great to just have the support that we have and have the student athletes that we can build the program with. And then just, it's a
Sure.
family thing. Like it really is like everybody's spouse, everybody, even the athletes with their, whoever they're dating, they're just around and it's like there's, like it's just, it's very like welcoming. And that was something I always wanted. I never was a big fan of that just like cookie cutter, like just program of, okay, like let's get you in. Here's the workout, finish it. Usually it's, hey guys, here's the workout, but I got a joke to tell you first, or hey, here's what happened last night. And so I want everyone to kind of understand that we're more than just these athletic robots and stuff. And if anything that we've been able to kind of put on the program, like that, I think is the most important thing, is just giving people that free space to just, like I'll be honest, some of our athletes are a little weird, they're a little different, but they are weird and they are different and we love them for it. And so it's like, if that's what you need to do to perform well, let's embrace it. Let's go for it. And I think like experiencing the program from every spot, like I never want anyone to be afraid to be successful or to take a risk. And I could definitely say, like, when I was especially an athlete in the early 2000s and, being younger in the 90s, it was like, all right, don't mess up, don't mess up. And now it's like, be excited about success, don't fear it. Because a lot of people do. Being successful takes that risk of failing. And that's where so many of our athletes kind of flourish, where they were like, well, when I messed up in high school, I got yelled at. And it's like, well, you lost already. Why do you need to get yelled at on top of that?
You mentioned some of our athletes being a little weird, and that forces my next question because I have to ask you about my teammate now, your former teammate in college, and Billy Gill, because it fits that to a T. What was that experience like for you? Because I sit next to him all the time now, and he's making me laugh nonstop. I have to imagine it was probably the same for you back at FIU when you were an athlete.
So I should have known, and it's so funny, one of my old friends that we used to hang out with Billy, but back in college, we always knew he was going to kind of go that route because I remember he used to have a Facebook show with his sister. I don't know if he ever talks about this, that he called the Gills. You have to ask him about it next time, you're on it. It was just these little like 1 minute long videos. Like imagine like very early vlogging, maybe a little scripted. We might have to give him a little crap for that, but they were slightly scripted and he would just follow, it would follow him and his sister around as they just did random stuff. But Billy was always very witty, very quick with like a little comment, or something. And we got along great. I think we were roommates maybe a couple times on the road trips. But I love Billy. Like he stopped by, ooh, a few years ago. He grabbed the pink Vice uniform. He raced the freeze. You know, I always tell Billy, I'm like, look, if you ever want the ratings to go up on the Levitard show, you're going to have to get me on there at some point. Billy was always very good with just being, you know, he kept the mood light at all times. And it used to bug the mess out of our head coach back then, Ruben, because he would always just have that little thing to say, and Ruben would just be like, all right, okay. And I'm like, Billy, that was very funny. I was like, I can't believe you just said that to him. It was never anything out of bounds. It was either his first or second year on the team. His ankle, he just sprained his ankle every week, just every single week. And so he just had like the Dan Marino, you know, giant ankle brace there by the time we finished the season. And I think we were in Lafayette, Louisiana that year for Sun Belt Conference, the old Fun Belt
Sunbelt,
back in
yeah.
the day. So that was probably 2007, long time ago. Billy's a good guy. I know he's growing his family now. He's doing his thing. So it's awesome to see that.
No doubt. It's been fun for us. I've a blast every time he's in the booth with us. But
Well, next time you're with him, ask him about the gills. Ask him if he has any more.
I'll text him that right now. The second we're done, I will text
Ask
him
him if
and
he
bug
has
him.
that footage saved. I don't know. I tried looking for it on Facebook the other day. Couldn't find it. He must be trying to rewrite the narrative there of his past. Doesn't want it to get out or something. I don't know.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was going to ambush you with him. The schedules didn't work out, but I was going to have him pop
Oh.
up in the Zoom here. And so now that I told him, hey, we're talking, maybe he's going and scrubbing the footage because he knew you'd bring it up. He's like, I got to get rid of the evidence. They can't
Maybe he'll
know.
pop in the Zoom right now. Who knows?
Maybe you never know with him. You never know with him. But it's funny because you use the word family to describe this program. And for anyone who doesn't know, you're as FIU as it gets between athlete, assistant coach, head coach. You met your wife at FIU. And Nick would tell you, I love the FIU power couples, the chisme of it, the gossip of it. I always find that enjoyable. And so kind of take us through that part of it, right? The other part of being an athlete at FIU as you begin to build your family while you're competing for the Panthers.
So it's funny, my wife swam at FIU. She was actually, I think she was here for 1 year or 2 years of Coach Horner when he first got here. And so the funny story is, I was on my way to USA under 20s. So funny. I mean, you know, we'll be very candid here. So I was getting ready to leave Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon, somewhere around there, with, I think it was with Mike Montero, our former all-conference center. He was our school record holder in the discus before he was an all-conference football player. And Rekir Ashmore, I think. So those two athletes, we were heading up to Bloomington, Indiana on Thursday to go to USA under 20s. They had finished the season. They had awesome marks. Like, we went up and competed to try to make Team USA. So that night, I think it was Wednesday night, one of my friends, old teammate of mine, Alvin Charles, calls me up and he goes, hey, we're going to Sandbar in the Grove, Penny Beer Night. And so I was like, all right, nah, I'm good. And he's like, oh, he was in the military at the time. He's like, you're not going to see me for a couple months. Like, come on, don't be that guy. So I'm like, all right, I'll go out. So I'm out there, and my wife now, you know, back then she was not my wife. She had just graduated from FIU, maybe a week before, if that. And so we happened to meet that night, and I was like, look, I'll call you, you know, when we get back from, this was back in 2012. So I was like, I'll call you when I get back from Bloomington. And, you know, of course she's like, whatever, you're not going to call. And I remember our first date was, I think it was that Monday night. We went out and watched the Heat game when they were in the playoffs back in 2012 with LeBron and all them. And so ever since then, we just been inseparable, and we got married about a year and a half later. So we always love FIU, and she'll tell you the first time, like, there's not always days. She doesn't like it every day. You know, when I'm like, oh, sorry, by the way, I had a recruit today. Forgot to tell you, I'll be home at 8. Not a big fan of FIU at that time, you know, but like, this Sunday, we're hosting the team at my house that qualified for regionals. They're going to get a chance to play with my kids, Logan, who's 6, and my daughter, Layton, who's 3. They love this time of year. The team gets to come over. They get to play. They get to make it this big thing. And so, just being like an FIU family, I mean, there's very few people on campus that have been here a long time that we don't know, which is really awesome to just kind of have that connection. And, you know, just the fact that we've been here so long and kind of seen everybody that's come through here and that has still taken up roots here. It's just awesome because it doesn't feel like a job, you know, and when it starts feeling like a job is when it's time to retire. And just every day is a little different. Like I said, I love it here. My wife loves it. Not every day. We don't like it every day. You know, we're about to be gone for 6 or 7 days for regionals, 6 or 7 days for conference, same thing for nationals. Not a big fan of track at that point. You know, when the plane touches down and the season's finally over, then it's like, this is awesome. In the thick of it, it can get a little hard sometimes. And I'm pretty sure if you ask, you know, Rich and all the guys, everybody, I'm
Anybody.
pretty sure it's the same. The
Anybody.
travel starts to bog you down a little bit. But the whole family side of it's just awesome because FIU is such a unique university. It's a unique experience. The athletic department is so unique in a positive way. And then just dealing with the university itself, again, so many of those stories. I mean, for a school of almost 60,000 students, to have these like awesome like first gen stories, to have these like opportunity stories, to just have people like making it their own and kind of taking it to the next level. It's just so awesome when you get to kind of do that as a family. And like my son, like he loves FIU football games, probably for the wrong reasons, because the fact that there's like cotton candy and stuff. And I'm like, all right, are there
Sure.
other options? One of my kids up till midnight, but we'll take it. But then my daughter, she loves to see Rory. Like everybody just gets so excited for the events on campus. And it's just awesome because when you kind of start to make the team like a part of your family and everybody kind of understands what we're working for here, what we're working towards, this isn't like a 4 or 5 year commitment. I'm on year 20 of my commitment to FIU and actually might be 21 if you account for when I actually committed to the university. So my time committed to FIU is legal to drink now, which is pretty cool. So, just the time that I've been associated with the university, it's just been so awesome because nothing ever feels like you're going through the motions or like you're doing it again. Just the roles we get to play in so many people's lives, and every group of athletes is so different, and every person we get to work with is so different that you don't get stuck in that just that rut of like, okay, I guess I'm going to work today. It's like I'm going to work today. I'm going to Costa Rica to coach Mick in a international meet, and let's see what happens. And that to me is just so cool, and you just normalize it, and that's what's so awesome. And let me take a step back there. Even trying to normalize it. It's just cool. When you get to kind of see somebody have that success and be prepared for the next step of their life, it just means the world to me and the staff and everybody. And it's just exciting. It's what keeps you like, you're sitting there, you're like, man, selling that insurance looks really nice. I don't think I'll be sunburned ever again. Or, my back won't hurt, feel a little younger. And then it's like, no, like there's just something every single year where some new athlete or some new experience just like makes you feel like you're 22 again and both your Achilles are intact. It's just special.
That's perfectly said. I think a lot of us who work in athletics can relate in every single way to that story. Last one for you, and it's related to that. Everything you just talked about, the family, the growth you've had, changing this program, having the best year ever at FIU in track and field, all started because you heard about FIU in the NCAA football video game. That was where you first learned about FIU. So all of this success is thanks to EA Sports, at least in some way.
It is. And it's so funny about it because it depends on who I'm recruiting. We kind of get a lay of the land. But the funny story behind that is Coach Rubin, who at the time was the head coach back in 2004, he came to my high school campus, Vero Beach High School. We've been known for like a very successful athletic program just as a whole. Like all the teams have done very well. I think we had multiple teams make it to the Final Four while I was in high school. I had nothing to do with any of that. But he was there recruiting one of my teammates, a pole vaulter, and I walked into the meeting too, just because he put a, and this is, I feel like coaches don't do this anymore. I'm walking through the hallways of Vero Beach High School on my way to football practice. And they were like, over the loudspeaker, hey, Coach Rubin is here from FIU. He's looking for anybody interested in doing track and field in college. And I was like, FIU, wait, from the video game. I was like, oh, that's a real school. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I go down there and I see Coach Rubin and I walk in. He's like, whoa, you're pretty tall. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm a hurdler. And I was a decent hurdler. Nowadays, I would probably make it to states. But back then in our district, we had four guys that were all like collegiate, all-American level guys. So I was just like, cool. Like, I'm not that bad. And I'm not even good enough to make it to regionals. So I was like, awesome, cool. So I get up there and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I run the hurdles. And he's like, oh, you have good times. He's like, anything else? I'm like, I know I can throw a javelin. And he's like, cool, you're on the team. So I was like, sweet. And I was like, I'll come down and check it out here, whenever, because we were just trying to get bodies back then. And so I remember it was December of 04. And at that time, I kept seeing news stories because I was looking at schools like Mississippi or whatever, which would have never survived there. And I just remember seeing snow everywhere and everything had these red brick buildings. And I'm like, I guess that's what college looks like. Like it's 1,000 years old. I was like, all right. And so I remember coming down to FIU. And again, we had a third of the buildings that we have now. The campus was completely different. But I get down to Miami and I'm like, wow, this is different. Like, this is a cool vibe. There's something going on here. They were touring us in December through the housing quad, walking through towers, Panther Hall, all that. And there was just quite a party going on with a lot of co-eds over at the Panther Hall pool. And I was like, yes, I am coming to FIU. This is for me. So I make it a point now to always walk through Panther Hall pool because you never know how it's going to recruit somebody. But I just remember thinking, I was like, it's the middle of December. There is snow everywhere else across the country. People are here putting suntan lotion on in December. I did not know you could go south from Vero Beach to go to college. And so just the energy of just all the multiple cultures that we have here in Miami, just how diverse everything is. It's just like experiencing that as a 17-year-old at the time. I was like, oh yeah, this is the place for me. And again, like I came from a small town where the average age of a citizen was dead. It was just a retirement community. And so you come to Miami, Florida, where it's just like, I mean, even Abuela is dancing, you know, like the energy is just so much different. And it's like, if I could bottle this up and sell it, I'd be a billionaire, you know? And it's just like, it's the thing that just kind of keeps drawing you back. And you notice it every time we fly to somewhere in the Midwest or the South, and everything is very like calm. The minute you touch down at MIA and you get off the plane and you just hear 30 different languages and there's just pure chaos, you just know you're home. And so it's just like that thing that just kind of keeps drawing you in and just so exciting. Thank EA Sports for that. I remember it was just like that was the school you played with. It's like, all right, can you take this team to the top? And to this day, like I don't have the new, I think it was 2025, or I don't have the new one yet. Trying to keep my kids away from video games for as long as I can. But you know, the minute I get it, we're gonna take FIU to the top. I know there's a lot of diehard Panther fans out there that have probably already done it. I just need the EA Sports track and field game and we'll do the same thing.
I got to admit, it was maybe a day after the game came out, and I sprinted to social media and posted the national championship picture. Eric Rivers is raising the trophy because he won the Heisman, and FIU just went off after that. So I followed the model, but it's that same deal. I played as FIU back in 2005 because that was the South Florida team that you would be able to build up. And like you said, you don't want to start as the six-star mega giant, you want to build it up. And that's exactly what you've been able to do here at FIU Track and Field. It's been a lot of fun to watch. Can't wait for you guys to get going in regionals and keep the good going. Coach Heb, Mick, appreciate you guys joining us. Good luck in Jacksonville. Keep it up.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. And, you know, just everyone who's watching out there, I always try to tell people just, you know, if you love this university, just do everything you can for it every day to just keep moving us forward. And I think everybody's doing an awesome job with that. And definitely the platform that you and Billy have created and all of FIU Athletics. It's just exciting to see. I know my mother will probably comment on this video and she'll love it. And, you know, we need all the mothers, all the fathers, all the athletes, everybody out there to just kind of see what's going on here at FIU. And I don't want to say the sleeping giant, the groggy giant is slowly but surely coming around.
It's a groggy day in Miami. It's been known to happen, but eventually we get where we need to in
100%.
Miami. All right, Coach. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Great stuff from Mick and Coach Heb there. A massive good luck to all the athletes representing FIU at regionals, continuing to root for all of them, and even past that as they eye nationals. Yes, the dog days of summer are almost here, but have no fear. We've got you covered throughout June, July, and into August right here on the FIU Athletics Podcast, sponsored by Baptist Health. Still plenty of stories to tell, even in the off season. There is no real off season. It's just loading up for the regular season. We'll be here before you know it. That's going to do it for us on this edition of the FIU Athletics Podcast. Be sure to keep it locked right here. Until then, though, and as always, pause up.
At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, you don't have to be a pro athlete to be treated like one. We use the latest techniques to give you an accurate diagnosis, along with surgical and non-surgical solutions, no matter who you are. Our team of specialists will do everything to help you perform at your best again. And with personalized recovery and rehabilitation plans, you'll be back to living your life to the fullest in no time. Welcome to Pro Level Orthopedic Care.